Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. Future Ford is your automotive expert. From sales to service, they're the ones you can trust to get rolling again sooner.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, grain market traders are now reading through the much-anticipated U.S. Department of Agriculture report. We'll hear from PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo on that. As well, Ag Direct Hail Insurance is ready to go for this growing season. Bruce Lowe is the Executive Vice President, and he says the company was the first direct and online hail insurance provider. We'll have more on that as well. The first Saskatchewan Agriculture Crop Report of the year was released yesterday afternoon. Agriculture Minister David Merritt actually held a news conference for it, and we will hear his comments. And the Do More Ag Foundation has launched its 2023 campaign to raise awareness about talking it out regarding mental health in agriculture. We'll hear from Executive Director Megs Reynolds on that. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, we seem to have a little bit of rain going on here in the Yorkton area, but it sounds like we're not going to get a whole lot compared to some other parts of the province.
Yeah, we're on the fringe area. There's actually a lot of rain around, but looking at actually what this rain is amounting to, there's not a lot of rain around for us. Yorkton is on the northern fringe of this. There are a few showers north, but even less significant. You have to get down. Right now, Mooseman getting or has been and still is getting a pretty decent shower. That's pushing off across into more of southwestern Manitoba. We will see some heavier rainfall totals that way into Minnedosa over the next couple of hours. And there's more behind. The heaviest has moved, looks like, out of Regina at this point, tracking eastward, but still a lot around there. And it's not all moving eastward. There's some eastward movement to it, but the overall motion is actually south, maybe southwestward. The end result is we're on the northern fringe. It's not heading in our direction, so that's good news. It will still be cloudy, and we'll still, even though we're on the fringe, we've still got enough of a moisture field on this fringe that I think we could be dealing with some steady rain. And when I say steady rain, Yorkton area north, we're talking steady sprinkles, drizzle, that sort of rainfall. The more measurable rainfall is going to be more limited to areas south. Very few exceptions to these. There are a few, and I always have to point out the fact that not everything is universal, but the exceptions are out there, and they are just that, very infrequent exceptions. So most of the time, we're just this light rain. Temperature up at 19 this afternoon. The wind up a little bit, too. That will ease up, too, as the storm begins to drop back southward. Showers in the evening, clearing out overnight. We're 9 degrees tonight, and cloud cover gives it a partial sun tomorrow with a high near 20. On the plus side, that is. Clearing out from that lingering cloud cover, the moisture should be gone by morning. The heavier cloud cover, still a lot of it around, thinner cloud deck, and gradually turning partly sunny. By tomorrow night, we do clear out, and with a light wind and with a clear sky, we'll drop off. Still not negative. 4 degrees is the low tomorrow night, and mostly sunny on Sunday, 24. We're getting into this warm pattern, certainly nothing negative. Temperatures well above normal into the new week. After being 24 on Sunday, we'll get into the mid to upper 20s for Monday and Tuesday. Looks like we do dip back toward normal as the week goes on, but at least the first few days, nice and toasty.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, The Paw and Roblin are at 15 degrees, Swan River 21, Dauphin 17, Brandon 18, Shoal Lake Russell 14. Regina is at 13, Saskatoon 18, Hudson Bay 20, Broadview Mooseman 12, Indian Head 14, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington 17. The Yorkton Melville region has some light rain, a south-southeast wind at 22 kilometers an hour. 63% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 15 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 23 degrees and dropped to a low of 3 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 17 degrees. The normal low is 4 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 5:04 this morning, and it will set at 8:29 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hot spot was Emerson at 26 degrees. The cold spot was Tadoule Lake at minus 1 degree. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Nipawin at 30 degrees. The cold spot Stony Rapids at minus 1 degree. And that's your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GX and Agriculture. Grain market traders are now reading through the much-anticipated U.S. Department of Agriculture report. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Piccolo was one of them to comb through the document, and he gave his assessment.
So it was overall bullish on the wheat front, hence the rally we've seen here kind of on the few wheat contracts. And then a little bit more bearish on the soybeans and the corn side. So ending stocks for U.S. corn and beans came actually a little bit above pre-report trade estimates, and wheat stocks came in lower. Old crop corn stocks also came in well above expectations. So here we are seeing soybeans down a little bit, and same with corn. Another notable kind of note in the report was there was surprisingly no changes to Argentina's corn or soybean kind of production from last month. So traders were expecting a little bit of a change there. But there has been a huge bump in Brazil's corn crop and soybeans rise as well, too. So those numbers may put a little bit pressure kind of on the markets here at some point.
As for the canola market,
Canola, again, we are down about $7 a ton here kind of on the day right now. Soybean oil in particular has been making new contract lows, kind of putting a bit of pressure on the contracts. November in particular for new crop that I've been talking with clients about is below that 700 level. When it was above 700 this week, that was an area I was looking to protect clients for, depending on how much new crop they have sold and things like that. The Canadian dollar is under a little bit of pressure here today as well, too, dropping actually about a cent in the last couple days here with the U.S. dollar kind of moving up, as well as crude oil moving down. So we are seeing a few outside market forces as well, too, kind of affecting the grain markets here.
Piccolo explains the impact the possible expiry of the Black Sea Grain Initiative is having on the markets.
Yeah, so the next deal again needs to be done for Russia, Ukraine, the Black Sea by May 18th. That's kind of the deadline for that. So again, it's a 120-day kind of agreement that they have, and there's talks to potentially want to move it to 60 days. However, that's not kind of something that Ukraine wants. Obviously, Russia is kind of more pushing for it on their end. And then when it comes to the China kind of tensions right now, too, I think it's just another factor that traders watch to see if some type of news can kind of spill over to the grain markets and affect the U.S. dollar on the currency side, as well too just on the demand side, because as we know how much kind of really China does buy, and if they do kind of slow down kind of their imports, that could definitely kind of put some pressure on prices, especially since we are expecting kind of some bumper crops in a few different areas.
He then provides his outlook for next week.
Yeah, so I would say in terms of what traders are maybe going to be watching for, I think just digesting kind of the USDA reports and seeing where things go at the close today. I always talk about the closing prices with clients, because during kind of intraday, during market hours, it can definitely move around quite a bit. But I think putting more emphasis on the closing prices is important. And then in terms of kind of going forward next week, again, some levels I'm watching is the $700 a ton level on the November canola futures. That's something I definitely want to see get back above. And, you know, a little bit of life on definitely on the wheat side here. So I am going to be talking with clients about protecting some new crop wheat as well, too, using options on using the Kansas City contract in particular. And for those that want to maybe learn a little bit more, feel free to visit my website at prairiecommodities.com.
Adam Piccolo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial in Winnipeg. It's time now for the Beef and Forage Report, and that's a presentation of Co-op Hail Insurance.
Future Ford has been serving the Melville area for over 30 years. They focus on the future. Their staff are ready for what's to come. Ford Tech is changing all the time with new vehicle technology like EV, self-driving, and more. Get ready to drive into the future. Why? Because the future is Future Ford.
Beef and Forage Report.
Although most feed grain buyers were fairly well covered through spring seeding, Suzanne Leclerc of Market Master Limited at Edmonton says some were looking for feed to get through the coming weeks and offered premiums. She says that's a shock for seeding season, and she suggests it's best to shop around, with prices fluctuating by about 40 cents per bushel. Leclerc says that the shifting around in prices has been the result of the commodities market swinging back and forth, adding buyers are purchasing very short term. As of yesterday, Leclerc says Market Master was offering $8.20 per bushel for barley that's picked up at the farm in the Camrose area. Wheat was priced at $10.40 to $10.50 per bushel, picked up in the Edmonton area. And that's the Beef and Forage Report. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
VX94, Ag Review.
A piece of legislation that would provide farmers with carbon tax relief is in front of Canadian senators. Bill C-234, which exempts on-farm fuels like propane and natural gas used in grain drying and barn heating from the federal carbon tax, had its first reading in the Senate on March 30th and the second reading on Tuesday. Canadian farmers pay millions of dollars in carbon taxes. Keystone Agricultural Producers, for example, estimates Manitoba farmers paid $1.7 million in carbon taxes in 2019. And the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan calculated that the carbon tax at $170 per ton, which is where carbon tax pricing is expected to be by 2030-31, will cost a grain farmer $12.52 per acre. With the 2021 Census of Agriculture calculating the average farm size in Saskatchewan at 1,766 acres, a farm of that size would pay $22,110 in carbon taxes. The CEO of Canadian fertilizer giant Nutrien says the company may consider slowing down its previously announced plan to ramp up potash production in light of falling prices and lower sales volumes. The comments come as the Saskatoon-based company, the world's largest fertilizer producer, lowered its earnings guidance for the year to between $6.4 billion and $8 billion, down from a previously announced range of $8.4 billion to $10 billion. It's been a volatile period for Nutrien, which achieved record earnings in 2021 and then saw fertilizer prices spike in March of 2022 as the Russia-Ukraine war shook up global agricultural markets and reduced supplies of fertilizer from Eastern Europe. To meet increased global demand, Nutrien announced in June of last year a plan to ramp up potash production by 40% compared with 2020 production levels, an increase of more than 5 million metric tons. Quebec's Agriculture Department says it has seized 38 cattle from the Central Quebec farm that was home to a group of fugitive cows that escaped last summer and went on the run for months. A spokesman for the Agriculture Department says the cattle were seized after a recent inspection found the safety and well-being of some of the animals was at risk. He says the animals will be assessed by a veterinarian and that a report will be submitted to prosecutors who will determine whether any charges will be laid. 24 cattle escaped from the farm in San Barnaby, Quebec, around 130 kilometers northeast of Montreal, in July. The final members of the herd were not recaptured until January, despite numerous attempts, including one that involved a group of cowboys from a nearby town. The U.S. Supreme Court has preserved a California law banning the sale of pork in America's most populous state from pigs kept in tightly confined spaces. That rejects an industry challenge claiming that the voter-backed animal welfare measure impermissibly regulates out-of-state farmers. The measure, approved by voters as a 2018 ballot initiative called Proposition 12, bars sales in California of pork, veal, and eggs from animals whose confinement failed to meet certain minimum space requirements. The law mandates pig confinement spaces large enough to enable the animals to turn around, lie down, stand up, and extend their limbs. Animal rights groups have said some pork producers confine pigs in cages so small that pigs cannot turn around for most of their lives. Canopy Growth Corporation says it will refile three of its past quarterly financial statements after uncovering material misstatements linked to its biosteel business. The Smiths Falls, Ontario cannabis company says in a regulatory filing that its sports beverage business's first, second, and third quarter sales information from 2022 should no longer be relied upon. The company discovered the misstatements when it was preparing its financial results for the financial year ended March 31st. Canopy determined on May 4th that there were errors in its filings after a review of BioSteel results with independent external counsel and forensic accountants. The company says its review is ongoing, and thus it cannot quantify the impact the changes might have on its prior financial statements. And be sure to listen to the latest GX on Agriculture podcast. It's brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. We have light rain and 15 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Ag Direct Hail Insurance is ready to go for this growing season. Bruce Lowe is the executive vice president, and he says the company was the first direct and online hail insurance provider.
Ag Direct Hail was launched 10 years ago, and we said at that time we wanted to forever change the crop hail insurance landscape by offering lower rates, great customer service, and professional loss adjusting. And now Ag Direct Hail is one of the largest providers on the prairies, and that's thanks to the support of hardworking farm families.
He notes he stepped away from Ag Direct Hail for about a year, but has returned.
Well, that's interesting. I'll just say that it was and always should be about the customer. And Ag Direct Hail was successful because of the support of prairie farmers, and we just can't ever forget that.
Lowe outlines what's changed now that he's back.
Well, Ag Direct Hail was acquired by Hub International late last year.
He says there are a lot of farmers who are familiar with Hub.
Well, yes. Well, Hub is the fifth largest brokerage in the world with over 60 offices on the prairies. and Hub International is known for their impressive portfolio of insurance products. And most importantly, their laser focus on customer service. And for me and the rest of the team, the emphasis on the customer is what should always set AgDirect Hail apart from its competitors.
Lowe tells us who's on his AgDirect Hail team.
Well, I tell you, it's exciting for me. We have it's an exciting time at AgDirect. We have Ellen back running the back office. She's been working hard to set our rates as sharp as we can. Bailey Shikanek is back leading our team of professional adjusters. Our adjusters pride themselves on thoroughly inspecting a claimant's hail damage and settling claims that accurately reflect their loss. And we have Beth back as our claims coordinator. There's no one better on the prairies, in my opinion, than Beth when it comes to planning and coordinating an adjustment and communicating with our customers. She really alleviates that stress that comes with the crop hail damage. We have Lori and Sarah and Megan all back in customer service and support. So I guess you can say we pretty much put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
He outlines what's new this year that farmers need to know about.
Well, yeah, many farmers may have noticed that there wasn't enough coverage being offered by the hail insurance companies last year. Simply with higher commodity prices and some early season storms, farmers tried to load up on insurance and some companies essentially ran out of stock. So also there was quite a bit of damage last year, which always puts upward pressure on rates. So I'm pleased to tell you that AgDirect Hail has not only secured additional insurance capacity for our customers this year, but we've also done our best to hold the line on any rate increases.
And Lowe says it's easy to find more information about AgDirect Hail.
Well, simply farmers can either email us at info@agdirecthail.com or give us a call toll-free at 855-686-5596. They can certainly ask for me if they want to talk.
That's Bruce Lowe, Executive Vice President of AgDirect Hail Insurance. To get a rate or to buy an insurance policy, simply call them toll-free at 1-855-686-5596.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 164.40 today. That's up 145. August live cattle closed at 162.45, up 165. August feeder cattle closed at 228.97, up 290. September feeder cattle closed at 231.97, up 267. June lean hogs closed at 84.10, up 22. July lean hogs closed at 85.32, up 20. And that's the livestock market conditions. The first Saskatchewan Agriculture Crop Report of the year was released yesterday afternoon. Agriculture Minister David Merritt was on hand for the announcement.
Obviously, we're coming into the busiest time of the year with the crop going in the ground, and it is obviously the biggest industry here. So we're here obviously to announce a couple of things. The crop seeded report, and right now as the report as of today is around 9%. And how we get that report is from our crop reporters around the province. And right now we have about 200 crop reporters in the province. We obviously could use more, so if you're listening and you're in a municipality that doesn't have one, just get a hold of the Ministry of Ag and we'd gladly take you on as a crop reporter. My colleague Daryl Harrison is here, is the MLA from Cannington, and he's my LEDS secretary in Ag as well. But Daryl himself is also a crop reporter. So thank you for the work you do, Daryl. It's obviously important that we get these reports to see, you know, how much crop is in the ground. As I said, we got about 9% in, and over the next week to 10 days, it's raining lightly here now, but we'll see a lot of crop go into the ground over the next week to 10 days as well. So just another couple of comments I do want to make. Obviously, this is a very, very busy time of the year in the province of Saskatchewan. We see big equipment moving up and down the highways and crossing the roadways. So we just ask the, you know, the driving public, the public people to, you know, to be safe out there, be cautious. This equipment is big. And you have to give it time to either move across a highway, or if it's moving down the highway, just be cautious of it and moving around it as well. The other factor I do want to make, as I said, this is a very busy time. farmers and ranchers put in very long hours every day, and they go as many days as they can. Obviously we want to make sure that they're safe out there, and I want them to be safe. As myself, farmed all my life, my wife and family always expected me home every night, and I'm sure every farmer out there, their family's expecting them home every night. So please be safe out there. Have a great season. As I said, it's the biggest industry we have in this province, and it's well underway.
Merritt says the crop reports will be released on a weekly basis until harvest wraps up.
Yeah, this is the first of many. We usually do them every Thursday, and so this is obviously that's why the crop reporters are very important to us. They give us these updates. We usually start getting them the first part of the week, and then gives us a good idea what's going on in the province, and gives us a pretty good, a very accurate number on the percentage-wise of what's going into the ground. So, as I said, they're an important part of the industry, and we can't thank them enough.
He's hoping for a good growing season this year.
Well, you know, I'm very optimistic this year, what I've been seeing. I mean, obviously, you know, we're here now and it's raining too. So, and I know, you know, my farm is in the southern part of the province, close to the border, and it's been raining down there all day. And the moisture conditions around the province, for the most part, from what I'm hearing from my colleagues, is pretty good. I mean, there is pockets where, you know, they need rain now, and it's a little drier. We never lose a crop in May or June. It's July we'll worry about, and hopefully, you know, Mother Nature will respond and give us some nice rain in July, and we'll have a bumper crop. Last year we bounced back pretty good with over 35 million metric tons. I'd sure like to see us hit that, you know, well over 40 million metric tons again this year. And right now, I think with what I'm hearing from, you know, people around the province, the conditions are looking pretty good.
Merritt believes soil moisture conditions are a lot better right now than they were at this time last year.
Oh, I think a lot better. I think we're doing a lot better. We had a lot more snowfall in parts of the province that we didn't have any last year. I know for the ranching community across the province, they're quite happy. A lot of the dugouts are filled in the southwest that didn't have any water in them last year. I was more concerned about water for the livestock sector in many parts of the province than I was grass. And we saw a very significant runoff in the southern part of the province where the dugouts are full. I know down in my part of the world, the dugouts are full. The ranchers are very happy. There's going to be a good start to the pastures, which is also good to see. So that's important for us. But for the overall province, I'm very satisfied with the moisture. I know up in the northwest, there's still some areas, you know, where they're concerned that they need some moisture. Generally, the moisture conditions around the province are looking pretty good. The crop is going into nice conditions right now.
He makes an educated guess on the amount of farmland being seeded in Saskatchewan this year.
Our estimations probably, if you look at crop insurance, at their number, and they're well over, you know, they're that 32 to 35 million acres, and then they don't get it all. So I think we're probably going to be up to 40 million acres that's going to be seeded this year, I'm thinking, in that neighborhood. And it's going to be a variety of crops. We're going to see probably canola numbers move up. We might even see durum move up as well. And one thing I do know is that the commodity prices are good, and that's good to see. But I'm also seeing a real global trend where companies are really looking at what we're doing here. They're looking at what we're doing in the number one reason. They like our environmental footprint on the way we're growing crop. They like the continuous cropping. They like the zero till. They like all of that. Companies are looking at what we're doing globally, and we have a great story to tell here. And the young farmers today are really adapting well to new technology.
Merritt thinks the amount of acres being seeded this year is close to what was seeded last year.
That's probably close, about the same. You know, and if I'm out 10% or 5% on that number, and I could be, I'm just going on based on history on crop insurance, where, you know, we're about over 32 or 33 million acres. We don't insure all the acres, but we insure about 80% of them. So, I see that number probably staying very consistent. It's not changing much. It really isn't, and it hasn't historically.
He believes the weekly Saskatchewan Crop Report is studied by the international agriculture industry.
I think it's very important, and I think it's very important for a number of factors. I mean, as a farmer all my life, I often wondered how my colleagues in other parts of the province were doing and things like that. But I think even globally, I think companies look at it and say, well, okay, they like to see, you know, when's the crop going in? Like, right, you know, from May till June, or till 1st of June, that is really our growth. That's the month that we put most of the crop in the ground. A lot of it goes into June as well. But so I think global, international companies look at, okay, look at their moisture conditions are good. They're getting it in at the right time. That means hopefully we see the quality. Now they'll just kind of watch the report and they watch it through the year and say, okay, they've had rain. Then they start looking at the quality side, say, okay. And then they start, you know, and then I'm assuming the companies start looking and say, okay, let's go and make some deals.
Merritt says the late April snowstorm that hit the eastern part of Saskatchewan has definitely delayed seeding this year.
Yeah, you know, probably the number one thing it did is put the moisture in a lot of places that they never had before. And I mean, that's a great question. I do, and it did delay it, probably for the most part in the southwest part of the province, because they got a lot more snow down in that area than the west central side. You know, probably now a lot of those guys were, what, the 10th of May and their 11th of May. A lot of the guys in the southwest would probably be done. Normally they would be. And I'm thinking some of them are probably getting close, but it was cold too. They're waiting for the ground to warm up. So that was a big factor as well. So, you know, you look even right around Regina here. You know, I just talked to Craig and they've got about a quarter of the crop in the ground. There's some farmers that haven't started here. I talked to another friend of mine and they're hoping to get going this week. But there's a lot of water laying around here too, around Regina, between Regina and Moose Jaw. So, and there's areas like that. But I've got friends up in the northeast. They've been going for over a week, which is really abnormal for them. But moisture conditions are absolutely perfect. Everybody has said that in a lot of places, that moisture conditions are good for putting the crop in the ground.
On another topic, Merritt says he's not worried about increasing diplomatic tensions between Canada and China affecting our agricultural exports to that country.
Our companies are so diverse in moving things. I mean, you know, China is, don't get me wrong, China is a market for us as well. I talked to a company this morning that's doing business in China as well. And but there are so many global players now for our product. I mean, you just look at what's happened in Mexico alone. We've gone to well over $1 billion in exports into Mexico, where 3 or 4 years ago we were like 500-600 million. So we're seeing that market grow. The U.S. market is growing again. We're seeing growth there. Indonesia is growing for us. United Emirates is becoming a big player as well. So there's so many factors now and so many players in the world that will adjust to all of that. I would hope they won't. You know, they got to feed their folks as well. So hopefully we'll get through all that.
But he doesn't anticipate Saskatchewan opening any more trade offices around the world.
You know, I think we've, you know, with the 9th office opening in Berlin, I think it was important for us. But when you look at where we have them now with Japan and Indonesia and Dubai and India, Mexico City, London, I think we've got the world covered. And we're seeing some huge impacts with those offices, with the business community in those countries are coming to the offices to and talking to our folks to say, okay, we want to come and have a look what's going on here. And you'll see that over the next few months. You will see some countries here, companies looking to see what we're doing. And we've got a great story to tell, and we're going to tell it to them.
And Merritt is still hoping that farmers will get some relief from the federal carbon tax.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously they are. Fertilizer prices have come down somewhat considering last year, but other things are still high. You know, I've said it in the Legislative Assembly, I'll say it here. Farmers are paying carbon tax on everything that's coming into this farm and everything that's leaving this farm. So that's having huge impact, as we all know. So obviously, you know, fuel prices are up as well. But thankfully, the commodity prices have moved the right direction as well to offset some of that as well.
That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Minister David Merritt. Please stay tuned. Your Commodities Update is coming up right after these messages.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. July canola closed at $7.1290, down $11.20. November canola closed at $6.9060. That's down $11.50. July Minneapolis wheat closed at $8.46 per bushel, up 9.25 cents. July Kansas City wheat closed at $8.77 per bushel, up 35.5 cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $6.35 per bushel, up 7.75 cents. July corn closed at $5.86 and a quarter, up 4 cents. July soybeans closed at $13.90 per bushel, down 15.5 cents. July oats closed at $3.35 and a quarter, up 2.25 cents. And that's the commodities update.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Just a reminder that Doug Ukrainitz of Ukrainitz Auctioneering here in Yorkton is in Arizona battling cancer. They've set up a GoFundMe page. It's at www.gofundme.com, and you can find all the latest information on there. As well, the East Central Research Foundation and Parkland College is looking for a new research assistant or even a co-coordinator that could take the leadership role in a few years' time. If you have a recent master's student graduate degree in agronomy, that would be ideal. If you know of anyone who would be interested in this position, please forward your email to m.hall@parklandcollege.sk.ca. And you can just simply call Mike Hall directly at 306-621-6032 to find out more information about it. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's coming up on 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Mainly cloudy with a 60% chance of showers and some steady rain south of Yorkton. Wind southeast at 15 to 25, gusting at higher at times, and a high of 19 degrees. For tonight, a 40% chance of showers, then clearing. Winds northeast at 10 to 15, a low of 9. For tomorrow, early cloud turning to partly sunny skies. Winds northeast at 15 to 25, a high of 20, an overnight low of 4. For Sunday, mainly sunny. Winds west at 10 to 20, and a high of 24. Monday, mainly sunny, a high of 27, and Tuesday, sunny, also a high of 27. In the Paw and Roblin, it's 15 degrees. Swan River is at 21, Dauphin, 17, Brandon, 18, Show Lake Russell, 14. Regina reporting in at 13 degrees, Saskatoon, 18, Hudson Bay, 20, Broadview, Mooseman, 12, Indian Head, 14, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 17. The Yorkton, Melville region has some light rain, a south-southeast wind at 22 kilometers an hour, 63% is the relative humidity, the temperature is 15 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again on Monday at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX Yorkton, a Harvard Media radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.
The GX on Agriculture podcast has been brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. Future Ford is your automotive expert. From sales to service, they're the ones you can trust to get rolling again sooner.